morning from Colola Springs Baptist Church. We welcome those of you that are live streaming with us today, as well as those of you that are in our live audience today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we have the privilege to come into this place to worship you. And Lord, we know in our world right now that there are some that want to do away with this privilege. And Heavenly Father, we know that you are greater than any one of them. And Father, we just know today that we're privileged to come here, and we thank you, Lord, that we can worship you in truth and in spirit. And we thank you, Lord, where two or three are gathered together in your name, God, that you've promised to be in the midst. Father, today we come to you lifting up the Doug Arnold family to you. God, that you would comfort Ruby right now and comfort the boy right now and give them the grace and strength that they need in this hour in their lives. Father, we pray for the Bill Farah family. Lord, we thank you for Bill's stand for you. We thank you, Lord, that he's at home with you today. And Lord, we just pray for your strength and your guidance upon his family. And Father, we pray for Joyce and Greg Ballard, Carolyn Glenn Scarborough, Ms. Dot Lee, Brother James Gardner, Bud Myers. Lord, we pray your touch upon their lives and give them the courage that they need right now in their lives. Father, we pray for Allison Thomas as she's been diagnosed with COVID-19. And we pray your watch care over her and over Jamie and over the entire family. And Lord, we pray that healing would come about in her physical body. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you today that we can lift up the sick to you. We can lift up those that are shut in to you. We can lift up those in nursing homes to you. God, we can lift up those even in this audience to you because, Lord, every one of us need you. We need your touch. Lord, I need your touch today. And Lord, I just pray your anointing upon this place today. And I pray, God, that what's sung and what's said and what's done would bring glory and honor and praise to your name. Father, you know those that are listening live stream today. And God, you know the needs in various lives that are listening in live stream as well as in this live audience. And I pray, God, you'd meet needs in lives, and we'll be careful to praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have one quick announcement. We are still in need for a TNT Awana teacher. That's an urgent need, grades 3 through 5. Chris?
Good morning. Let's all stand this morning as we sing, "I'll Live in Glory."
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven way. But if my Savior calls me to let me home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory, living by and by. I'll live and sing the stories there on high.
I tell you what, guys, let's do that one more time, and let's ask our lead singer, the Caledonians, to come up here and sing that, since that's one of his favorite songs. And I'm going to do a tenor part with you.
Ooh. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted day. What's the meaning changes of life's an evil way? But if my Savior calls me,
Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Almighty God, we come to you this morning just realizing how great you are, how worthy you are. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we just, every word that was sung this morning, Lord, seemed to be right from our hearts. We just pray, Lord, that you would take this worship. And as Brother Don comes, that you would just fill him with your spirit, Lord. We know you have prepared him already for a message that you would have him present to us. We thank you, praise you, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
Glory of the Lord to be alive within our midst.
those of you that were here during the early 70s, we had a pastor, a young pastor here at that time, an extremely young pastor named Jim Varnon. Jim is retiring today. I don't know how long that'll last, but anyway, he's retiring. For those of you that get Gmail, which comes out from our office, we've written a couple of articles lately. One is about a goat named Steve. I want you to read that article. This goat is out at Chris's. He's our big billy goat. And the goat is named after Steve Lindsay. So you might read that and think about that. And then there's another article that went out this past week about a duck and some ducklings that I saw crossing the road right up here. There's a lesson in reading that little article about that duck. So I encourage you to read those two articles as we try to write something different every week for Wednesday Thoughts. Today I want us to think about, do lost men see his love in you? Do lost men see his love in you? And reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then we read from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, Romans 13, reading with verse 8, 9, and 10. Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath followed the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Read this one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, love is a debt. Love is a debt we owe to all. And a payment ever to be rendered. Love is a duty. It's the highest form of duty. Could it be said that he that loveth not, believeth not? He that believeth not, loveth not? The late Albert Menninger once said the word unlove is the saddest word in the English language. Has anyone ever told you, I don't love you anymore? I don't love you anymore. Sometimes people say that their marriage is falling apart. And sometimes they might say to their partner, I don't love you anymore. I don't love you. Those are sad words. And maybe somewhere along in life somebody has said to you, I don't love you. And I don't love you anymore. My friend, what do lost men see in you? Do they see his love? Think about that. What do lost men, we run into them every day. What do they see in you? Do they see his love? If they don't see his love, then they're seeing unlove. And they're reading unlove in your life. Today I want us to think about, do lost men identify the love of Jesus in you? And second, do lost men see his love exemplified through you? And third, do lost men come to Jesus because you love Jesus? Wow. Think about that third one. Do lost men come to Jesus because you love Jesus? Do lost men identify the love of Jesus in you? How's the love of Jesus identified in the believer? Let's go back to the book of Romans. Let's go back to the book of Romans, chapter 13, and verse 8, as we ask that question again. How is the love of Jesus identified in the believer? Romans 13 and 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Could we say that love is the divine mark that we're born again? Love is the divine mark that we're born again? I want you to turn with me this morning to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John 4 and verse 16, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. That's the first thing we learn in Sunday school. God is love. I remember Miss Louise Grant years ago in teaching her Sunday school class. I guarantee you, you didn't leave her class without memorizing God is love. She taught it every week. Every week. How important is that? Think about it. Let's read that verse again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. My friend, love is the unanswerable testimony of allegiance to Jesus Christ. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, as you think about that, love is the legible seal that we know the love of God. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Then, beloved, love is the evidence that we're taught of God. Go back to 1 John chapter 4 again, verse 7. Love is the evidence that we're taught of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Grab the rest of that verse. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My friend, do lost men identify the love of Jesus in you? And then there's a second thought today. Do lost men see his love exemplified through you? Through you. Romans 13, verse 9 says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Sometimes we think about the neighbor being the person that lives next door. But you can also have neighbors in the community that you live in. You can have neighbors in the place where you work. And wherever you might have that neighbor, you're commanded as a believer to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Well, how is this exemplified? How is this possible? I don't get along with that cat. You can still love him. I don't like his personality, but you can still love him. I don't like what he wears every day. You can still love him. I remember we had a man back home when I was a kid that came out of the Korean War, and he had an old car painted up with an American flag on it, and it was also yellow and it was also black, and everybody in town made fun of it. He was a little mentally off because of the war. But you know what? We were to love him. We were to love him. He might have been different from the rest of us, but we were to love him. As a matter of fact, you and I are different from each other. We're different from me. Look at Charlie Farrow this morning. He's quite different from me. He's laid back. I stay wound up. He wears his glasses down here. I wear them up here. I don't know what's wrong with him. But I love him. I love him. How is his love exemplified? Could we say through compassion? Through compassion, yes. Compassion is the heart of love. You think about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. When that prodigal son finally came to his senses in a pig pen and went back home to his father, I want you to note what the father saw and what the father felt in his heart, because he was moved with compassion. moved with compassion. If you read that account in Luke, you'll find there a kiss of forgiveness from that father to that son. You'll find a clasp of affection from that father to that son. You'll find a robe of adornment from the father to the son that had strayed away. You'll find a ring of honor. You'll find the feast of provision, even though his other brother fussed about it. You'll find the words of appreciation. You'll find the joy of gladness. There's a lot to be learned from that text. And if you hadn't read it lately, I encourage you to do so. How is his love exemplified? Through kindness, yes. Kindness is the act of love. Jesus Christ showed us on the cross that he loved us and he gave his life for us that we could have eternal life and have life more abundantly. Can you imagine that? Went one time to Israel, I walked up that old street where he drug the cross. He went up to Golgotha's hill. There he was nailed to a cross. And I can't get over this, but he died for me and he died for you. Don't leave him there. They took him down from the cross and buried him in a rich man's tomb. Don't leave him there, because on the third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen by many witnesses. He ascended into heaven, and one day, bless your heart, he's coming back to take you to be with him also that are saved by his grace. Through kindness, yes. How is his love exemplified? Through grace, yes. Grace, I want you to listen to this. Grace gives everything for nothing. Grace gives everything for nothing. And when the recipient does not deserve anything, you and I did not deserve his grace. We did not deserve his salvation. We did not deserve him dying on a cross. We don't deserve any of this. I deserve to go to hell because I'm a wretched sinner. Thank God I'm saved by the precious blood of the Lamb shed on Calvary. How is his love exemplified? Through sacrifice. Sacrifice is the service of love. Love will sacrifice, Ephesians 5 and 2, and walk in love as Christ hath loved you and hath given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. And then how is his love exemplified? Through pity, yes. Through pity, human beings have pity, but they don't always help. We drive by a lot of situations and we hear about a lot of situations and we say in our mind, oh, I feel for them. You know when you feel for them? When you go knock on their door and when you help them. When you go visit them, when you go spend time with them, when you take that pie or cake to them because they've been sick and shut in, when you call them on the phone. I want you to think about something today. Those folks that are in the nursing home have been in the nursing home for months with nobody able to go see them. Nobody. How lonely that must be. And how lonely it must be for those folks that are dealing with COVID to have to lock themselves up in quarantine for 2 weeks. How lonely that must be. I'm thankful that we do have a phone where we can talk to some folks. But my, think about it. Through pity, love is exemplified. How is his love exemplified through us? Well, pity frees from bondage. Pity, my friend, is not weary in helping. Pity is not weary in helping. Oh, how is his love exemplified through us? There's another one. It's called through sympathy. Through sympathy. Sympathy is the fellowship of love. I want you to listen to what Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13 has to say. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also forgave you, so also do ye. My friend, think about this. Beloved, is his love exemplified through you? Sad to say that the average Christian is slack in compassion. slack in compassion. We say that we know Jesus and we say that we love Jesus, but listen to me. There's so often we don't carry that any further than just talk. And we talk stuff to death. Average Christian is weak in kindness. And I say that I love Jesus and I'm weak in being kind to others. The average Christian is negligence in grace. Oh, how precious. How precious is that word, grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound, beloved, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Did we say the average Christian is selfish in sacrifice? The average Christian is weak in pity? And I want you to listen to this last one. The average Christian is dry-eyed in sympathy. Listen. Listen. It's all right to cry. It's all right to cry. I've stood in funerals when I was supposed to be holding my composure and I thought I was big enough to do it and I fell all to pieces, but that's okay. I believe sometime when we really and truly love somebody, that's going to happen to us. And we're going to lose it. We're going to cry. That's okay. The average Christian is dry-eyed. Well, preacher, I don't want to go around where death is. Wow. And so I'm going to stay at home and I'm just going to think about them. You want to help them? You better go around where they are. Go around and minister. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, don't say nothing but go. I've been down at the funeral home many times that I literally did not know what to say. And I'd pray on the way to the funeral home, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do and I can't handle this. And God took over. And God took over. And I've driven down to the hospital in the wee hours of the night to go tell somebody that their daughter had been killed in a car wreck 5 o'clock in the morning. My friend, I prayed all the way to that hospital. Lord, I don't know what to say. Let me tell you something. You can't sugarcoat death. You can only paint it for what it is. 5 o'clock one morning, I caught the elevator. I went up on the second or third floor of the hospital, walked down to a man's room. I had to tell him his daughter had been killed in a car wreck. Listen, did he cry? Yes. Did I cry? Yes. That's okay. Average Christian is dry-eyed and sympathy. We need our eyes wet as we cry before God. Seek his face. Do lost men see his love exemplified through you? Do lost men come to Jesus because you love Jesus? Do lost men come to Jesus because you love Jesus? I want you to listen to the 14th verse of Colossians chapter 3. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectiveness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do lost men, listen, do they see his love exemplified in your life? Do they see his love? Now think about Jesus as he went to that tomb where Lazarus was and he'd been dead 4 days and Jesus knew he's going to come back alive. But you know what? He didn't run up there and tell Lazarus to jump out of the grave. He ran up there, my friend, and stopped and looked at that family and that crowd, and the scripture says, and Jesus wept. He wept, he felt compassion because Lazarus was his close friend. He felt compassion. You know what else he did? He called Lazarus forth from that grave and he came forth, his old grave clothes unbound. My friend, that's the power of God. I want to ask you a question today. Do lost men see the love of Jesus in you? We have to ask ourselves that question as Baptists, Mr. Baptist. Do lost men see the love of Jesus in you? As you go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, do lost men see the love of Jesus in you? Do lost men identify the love of Jesus in you? Do lost men see his love exemplified through you? Do lost men come to Jesus because of the life that you live? Boy, that's a tough one. But listen to me. How else is a lost man going to come to Christ except I go into all the world preaching the name of Jesus Christ and sharing Jesus and loving like I'm supposed to be loving as a child of God? I'm going to tell you something. You'll never lead a lost man to Christ with a frown on your face and a heart that ain't right. You'll never lead a lost man like that to Christ. But when you exemplify his love, that man's going to take time to listen to you. Ran across this little quote in closing. Heart of mine, dost thou really love the Savior? Brothers and sisters, put this question to yourselves. And if you do love him, let your love well up like a mighty geyser, the hot spring that leaps up to a great height. So let the hot spring of your love to Jesus leap up now, and let each one of you say to him, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved him, my Jesus, 'tis now. You know what? If you can do so, then you may add these words. I will love thee in life. I will love thee in death. And praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. Could you say that? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, you know every heart that's in this building. God, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, I pray today right where they are, they'd admit to you that they're a sinner and they would ask you to come into their heart, forgive their sins, and save their soul. And Heavenly Father, I pray if there's one in our live stream audience today that doesn't know you, I pray today that they'd come to know you in the free pardoning of sin, and that they too would cry out for you to save them this day wherever they are. And Lord, I ask you today, save the lost man that's nearest hell right now. We'll praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.